Welcome to the MadTech Podcast special from ExchangeWire, a weekly deep dive into a pressing industry issue.
Hello and welcome to the MadTech Podcast. We've got another special for you today focusing on TV. I'm Amy, editor at ExchangeWire and your host for this episode. I'm delighted to introduce today's guest, Catherine Bean, media planning lead at Maroma Founders Network. Welcome to the podcast. How's your week been going so far?
Thank you. Yeah, really well, thank you. Good. First week back after a little time off, so really getting back into the thick of it.
Yeah, feeling refreshed. Yes. After the break.
100% ready to go.
Yeah. Nice. Perfect. I'm looking forward to our discussion today. Catherine will also be at ATS London next Tuesday on the 9th of September. She'll be on the panel discussing TV fragmentation. We're excited to have you there. What are you most looking forward to about ATS?
Yeah, I think just when you look at the agenda across the day, there's some really big kind of juicy topics to get into. I think a lot of them address a lot of what our clients are asking for around measurement in kind of big growth channels as being kind of a key element of that.
Yeah, it will be a day of lots of good discussions.
Yeah, 100%.
So today we'll also be looking at TV fragmentation ahead of your panel. We'll be looking at challenges for advertisers, how advertisers can use it to their advantage, and the role of data among other issues. So to get started, what's the current situation when it comes to TV fragmentation?
It's very, simply put, is very fragmented, more so than ever. I think it's been a phrase and a term that has been used for a number of years, just the rise of IP-served TV. But I think more than ever, we're seeing a huge amount of fragmentation, not only from content, but kind of the forms of which you can buy the inventory and a huge kind of vast array of different ways to measure it, but no holistic view, which has meant it's become increasingly fragmented for advertisers to scale it based on kind of having a total view of what it looks like.
Yeah. So can you go into some of the main challenges for advertisers?
100%. A lot of kind of the clients I've worked with over the last few years have been at the forefront of kind of measurement and attribution from more of a linear TV perspective. They can see kind of the value in digital connected TV, and the audiences are growing there. We are obviously seeing kind of all kind of matter of publishers from broadcasters to kind of more kind of online publishers investing in that space. But the limitations are understanding for this inventory that we have served, where are we duplicating that inventory? Is it kind of safe quality environments? And what did it return back for that spend? So kind of really kind of simple, simplistic questions that the industry have kind of always asked, or advertisers have always asked of agencies to kind of answer, have been a real big challenge for us to do so in kind of the last couple of years.
Yeah, there's been so much investment in CTV. It's huge at the moment. Yeah. And I guess, huge new areas like that always come with new challenges.
Exactly. So, 100%.
And so how could advertisers use it to their advantage, TV fragmentation?
Yeah, I think it's that kind of age-old battle really between the trusted quality content that we've kind of looked at in more of like your traditional broadcaster sense versus a bit of an opportunity for higher volume of impacts, lower entry points, and trying to kind of reach new audiences. So where we're seeing the likes of a YouTube and other connected TV environments really drawing in that kind of vast kind of reach of younger audiences, that is like a real advantage for advertisers. And I think, you know, as we kind of rely more on kind of the AI development of both content and creative, having something that's faster and more accessible and more volume is where I think potentially at the compromise of quality, but that's kind of an opportunity for advertisers.
Yeah, definitely. And you mentioned YouTube there. What do you think about that, about how, you know, YouTube is kind of changing the whole space at the moment? Because it just became like the top platform for children recently, right, in the UK. How does that kind of fit into everything? What do you think?
Yeah, exactly that. I think it becomes, you know, like people are creatures of habit in terms of I turn on my TV or I turn on my phone and what platforms do I just gravitate to? And these kind of stats where we're seeing these younger audiences going to YouTube first has become their new kind of form of habit. And therefore, like that is where the growth audiences will develop over time. And we know that not only like from one hand, probably younger audiences will accept a lower form of quality content. They're not expecting like high-end dramas to settle into kind of winter evenings and more of your kids' content, which is produced at mass. So therefore, there's kind of less expectation from that kind of perspective. But I think, you know, we're seeing from like them as a sort of a platform where they are, you know, there's opportunities for kind of that tentpole advertising, kind of as they term it in the US, where you can kind of select better inventory. We know that people will watch the typical kind of appointment to view kind of sport access. Before, it was very much, it needs to be on a big screen. And now people have more of an acceptance of watching it on smaller screens, watching it on the move and making it more convenient in their lives, that I think a platform like YouTube kind of plays into that. And they are obviously setting themselves up to play in that space, kind of being measured and registered on Barb, for example, to kind of play in that audience kind of measurement perspective, and allowing the broadcasters to put their content on their platform. So it kind of feels like they are kind of playing at all angles, like trying to get in on that kind of quality and respected measurement and content whilst kind of getting the volume of your younger audience content. So yeah, definitely not going anywhere.
Yeah. And do you think there's any specific challenges there surrounding YouTube?
In terms of like the content or the measurement or like
I guess maybe the measurement.
I'd say it is in it, like it has a better like view when looking at like the Google's like ecosystem. You can take more channels at play and it tends to have a vast kind of volume of investment of advertisers driving some form of performance result. So I think it kind of, from one hand, it's kind of good in that side of things, but it really kind of separates itself from having a holistic view of performance. And generally advertisers want to know that across this whole campaign, like what did it deliver back? Mm-hmm. And I think where they kind of, it feels very separated, it that kind of really brings those challenges at play. A lot of the time it's, you know, like who is taking that result or that sale? Because someone who has seen an ad in a different connected TV environment has probably contributed to what that YouTube ad is saying, mm-hmm. Has, and therefore it's a really tricky kind of landscape for us as agencies to make recommendations, optimizations based on those kind of limitations of data.
Yeah. So on that note, kind of looking further out from YouTube now, the whole kind of TV landscape, what role can data play in addressing the fragmentation?
I think where clients have a really good understanding of their own data, that is going to be the priority, like moving forward. So kind of where you're talking about like first party data agreements with broadcasters and connected TV suppliers, and kind of not just using it from a targeting perspective. Obviously, there's absolutely loads that you could do there, and that will be kind of one of the key developments. But understanding like across all your inventory, what is resonating the best, like from creative, environment, frequency, like all of that based on your own data and kind of feedback loops into the planning. and making sure that campaigns are set up for that, and taking really, and this is what kind of we've discussed a lot, is taking a lot of like the fundamentals of digital performance. So what is your low-hanging fruit in terms of a conversion, and how will you use your connected TV inventory best to get that in-market audience, versus having an eye to you will run out of that pool quite quickly. So how are you going to plan for the sales that are going to come in the next 6 months, 12 months based on broader inventory base, and kind of making sure that your data and measurement is all set up to allow for that level of insight?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. And do you think there's what kind of role can linear TV play, like as obviously CTV gets more and more popular and becomes more and more of the landscape? How can people kind of use linear TV in a way that's still really relevant?
Yeah. I would say you can take a lot of the, like where they have a more established holistic view of all of your inventory and what drove, like what result, you can take some kind of fundamental planning learnings from that. So kind of day parts and types of content is kind of one side of it. I think there's still a, you know, broadcasters are setting themselves up to serve inventory online in the future, but we're not there yet. There will be those key moments that do draw in kind of the nation to watch, and therefore there will be certain linear moments that really give you an opportunity, if you are like have good creative messaging, to kind of resonate with an audience at scale quite quickly with kind of a couple of hero spots. So yeah, kind of taking learnings into your planning and using it for like reach drivers.
Yeah, there's a lot of opportunities there, the way people, you know, watch it so communally.
Exactly that. I mean, that still stands through on like if big screens are sort of internet surf enabled, those are still social moments, you know, when it, rather than like mobile devices. But traditionally, yeah, linear TV does bring in like that. I think Thinkbox do a lot of kind of studies around the kind of sentiment of when you're all together and like the piggyback that advertisers can have off the back of that. And there is, you know, those like moments in Christmas or like big football matches that do have that kind of opportunity for advertising and those moments to feel kind of really positive.
Yeah, definitely. Like the way everyone will like talk about Christmas ads.
Exactly that. Exactly. Yeah. And I think that's a really interesting point in terms of like where broadcasters, like everyone will say that they don't want to see ads, but there is an acceptance, like cinema, they're like positive association. TV, like there is an acceptance and there is respect for a good ad. Whereas usually like YouTube content isn't set up to serve the ads in the right kind of placement of content, and therefore it feels ajar, and there is a general like negative association. So like if my nieces are watching some sort of Peppa Pig and it's like interrupted, they will be like, no, take the adverts off. Whereas in, I think in TV there's a bit more like scheduling and acceptance, and people resonate with it. So that is like a factor to consider in the more YouTube world of connected TV advertising.
Yeah, definitely. Like you mentioned with the cinema, for example, like people are much more, you know, they know that they're going to see the trailers at the start and they're much more, they're entertaining, you know,
exactly,
the way that they're made.
Yeah. And then advertisers ensure that their ads come at a better quality because they know that they're going to be sort of gain more attention. There is a job to be done in that like digital TV world of making it feel like a better placement and more respected, both from advertisers and the content they're putting out and audiences watching it.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I guess that's quite a big challenge then for advertising on YouTube, because it's, you know, how do you actually make those ads something that people don't get annoyed by?
Yeah, 100%.
And so where do you kind of see, I guess, like the short-term future going with kind of the TV landscape and fragmentation? How do you think it's going to be, you know, addressed in the coming years? Do you think there's going to be kind of any changes of like how people address it?
Yeah, I think there's like different buckets of it. I think particularly more probably like younger audiences entertainment and potentially like just lower quality entertainment, I think you're going to just see it, such a high volume of it being turned out just based on particularly like animation, let's say, and like what AI is kind of going to do in that space and like the quickness of it being churned out.
Yeah.
And so I think that will be kind of a key area that we will see. I think we do advertisers more so, and that the brands I work with more so are have resisted some of like the connected TV kind of conversion of spend from linear into digital in the past because of a lack of attribution. But I think at this stage, regardless of what is in market, they're just kind of like, we know we need to be there. So that is kind of a key kind of area, I think, that will be addressed. And it is very much just like more content. I think it's just volume. People, it's like consuming more and more volume of content. I think also like with the fragmentation of it, it's like very much, you know, like where podcasts very much started in as like an audio, it's now very much video, and now that sits on platform. It's, I think, yeah, a lot of those,
a lot of crossover
worlds,
there.
Yeah, and like user generated content, like obviously YouTube started in that space, and podcasts to a certain extent are like very it's very individual content, like backed by brands and concepts, but it's not characters, it's people. And so we're seeing more of that kind of inventory in those types of platforms. So it is just all kind of merging in and amongst more of your like scripted content.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess we're going to continue to see things getting even more fragmented in the coming years.
Exactly. Which I think like for advertisers, they like, understand like it's okay that there is different like platforms, inventory types, all of that, but understanding where it's going and what it's doing, which are just like two quite straightforward questions, if we can answer those, then it kind of like you can make the right decisions based on what to do next within that inventory space. So it kind of doesn't matter that there is so much more sort of blended and sort of like, yeah, merged together, as long as you can answer those key questions.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, challenges there, but also so many opportunities.
Yes, exactly.
So much to take advantage of.
100%.
Yeah, I think that's a good note to finish on. And yeah, thanks so much for all those insights. That was great.
No worries. Thank you.
And looking forward to having you next week at ATS.
Yes, so am I. Definitely.
Yeah. Thanks so much. And thanks to all our listeners. Tune in next time.
Thanks for tuning in to this MadTech podcast special. We'll be back to discuss another hot industry topic soon.